In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice that the sun has finally come out. It's nice that the day is today. Today is the day when the new year begins. We don't have to wait like the secular world until December is over, but we begin our year focusing on our journeying toward Christ. That's what Advent is. We begin our year focusing on Christ come, please. We end our year, Christ come, please, with Christ the King. And so we are always in a state, as the Catholic Church, seeking the coming of Christ. First to ourselves, that's the most important one. And yes, he's going to come at the end of time, and he already has come, but we wait liturgically for him at Christmas. So today we wait for Christ. Are you readying yourself? One of the first things that we're going to do as a community to be able to ready ourselves is something you've already witnessed. What did we begin Mass with? You saw our Lord here present on the altar, exposed, the Blessed Sacrament. You've seen that we've expanded opportunities for us to go to confession, and you know that just like last year, we're going to have during extra times of prayer. That's what Advent is all about. It's moving toward Christ. Every day, before Mass, daily Mass, we're going to have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament exposed for an hour. 30 minutes before every Mass, we're going to have confession, including when we're out there in PDL or wherever else it is that we have a normal daily Mass. We're going to have, after every daily Mass, a time of prayer to engage in the time of the Church, the liturgy of the hours, the psalms that the men and women of God have prayed continually since his time, and actually Jesus prayed the same way we do. Going to adore our Lord. Those are the three things we're going to focus on. Prayer, adoration, and confession. That way we can make room for Christ in our lives. Brothers and sisters, are you getting ready? Remember, the one thing that I'm trying to do of all to make sure that there's room for my life in Christ is to pull away from the world, to find silence by not going after new things, meaning the news of what's going on in the world. And by pulling back in that way, hope to find the good news. That's the gospel, that Christ is indeed coming. This week we have First Friday, and First Friday also happens to be the feast of St. Nicholas, the 6th of December. That's the day when we all put our shoes outside our doors and say, Lord Jesus, give me something good. St. Nicholas, come and fill my shoe with something that I need. If you come to Mass on First Friday, you're going to have an opportunity to receive that. I hope he visits your homes as well. And I want you to rejoice with me now. I didn't mention it earlier today. I did last night. But today is the 2003rd day that I've been a priest of Jesus Christ. I've begun my second millennium with Christ. Millennium as in 1,000 days with Christ as his priest. And I want to do this one a little better. See what our Lord has to say to us in his readings. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know the day on which our Lord will come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Did you know that there's a discussion that goes on, especially in priest circles, but also those who are informed Catholics, about how we're supposed to treat the season of Advent? The question is this. The question is the season of Advent a season of penance, a penitential season, just like Lent is? Here's the long and the short of it. Quick answers for that. Yes, it is. The answer would go, because we wear purple. At Lent, we wear purple. We vest in purple, and purple is the color of penance. Therefore, what does that mean? Advent is a season of penance. Here's the other side of the argument. It says, well, the Church defines all the penitential seasons and all the penitential days in the book of canon law and the liturgical books. But guess what? Advent isn't listed among them. So therefore, it's not a season of Lent. It's not a season just like Lent where we do penance. But I think if we're going to get to the answer, that we got to look deeper than that. We got to look deeper than the things that are there. Let's examine the way Jesus examines issues. You know, when Jesus has something that's going on, he always looks deeper. He sees that they're going for something which is a curiosity, and then he sidesteps the issues and gets to the heart of the matter, giving a deeper teaching. And so I think we need to do the same thing for this. You know that, for example, here's one time. In Luke chapter 13, do you remember that time when the disciples came up to our Lord Jesus and they said to him, hey, Lord, in the end, will many be saved, or will it only be a few? They thought it would be just a few. You remember how our Lord answered that question? He replied, and he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many are going to strive to do so, but they're not going to be strong enough. So do you see what our Lord does there? Our Lord sidesteps the issue. He breaks through their human curiosity, which is all about numbers. How many people are going to make it? And what our Lord Jesus actually does is he gets to the heart of the matter and says, here's what you need to do to make it to heaven. Focus on yourself getting there. Don't worry about everybody else. So what is the way to answer this question? Is Advent a penitential season like Lent or not? The way that Jesus would answer it. To do so, I think we need to look at the words of the gospel, the one that Deacon Marvin proclaimed for us today, yes, but also the one that was proclaimed yesterday when we didn't have Mass, the daily readings for that, the last day of the year. What do these bookends of the year teach us about what this season is really supposed to be about? Let's go to today's reading. Deacon Marvin proclaimed this for us today. In these gospels, what they do is they help us to push past that human curiosity that's always going on in our lives to get more, something new, and to focus on how it is that you and I need to spend our Advent if we're going to be ready for Christ. This is what the words say. In the gospel, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Up until the day Noah entered into the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them away. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know the day on which your Lord will come. Do you see what our Lord Jesus is saying there and what he's not saying? Our Lord Jesus is saying, yes, it was Noah and his family. They were the only ones who were saved from the flood. He is saying that. But Jesus didn't mention anything objectively wrong about those people who weren't saved. What did he say about those who weren't saved? He said, what were they doing? He said they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. Got to do that to stay alive, right? It's good to have wine. It says in scriptures, wine cheers men's heart. We need joy. It's good to marry and to give married. That's why it's a sacrament. Yesterday, we married a beautiful couple in Pintada. They're great. Next week, we're going to marry another couple right here in this parish on Saturday. It's going to be great. There's a couple at last Mass, so I'm preparing for marriage as well. Marriage is a good and holy thing. But we can't drink to excess, can't we? We can't eat to excess, right? We can't distort God's plan for marriage and pretend that it's something that it's not. So Jesus' critique really about these people in the days of Noah is that they're just going about their normal life. They're caught off guard when God actually comes to visit them. They paid no attention to the signs, and especially to the great sign that Noah was building a huge, massive ark, football fields long, in the town square, and they didn't pay any attention to what he was doing it for. It took him decades upon decades to do it. They were so absorbed in their daily activities, in their tasks, and making sure the kids got where they needed to go, making sure they checked off everything on their list, that they didn't acknowledge God at the very moment of his coming. Here's a brain teaser for us. Think about this for a moment. If God is really gracious and merciful, if God is really slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, like the whole of the scriptures talks about it, that's a quote right there. If he's really that merciful God, then why would God punish some seemingly innocent group of people who are just merely careless, who aren't paying attention? Doesn't seem like a commensurate response, does it? We got to understand that. And to understand that, we need to look at yesterday's gospel. You know what yesterday's gospel was? This was yesterday's gospel. Our Lord Jesus again is speaking, and he says, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that they catch you by surprise like a trap, for that day will assault everyone on the face of the earth. So yesterday, in yesterday's gospel, our Lord Jesus is warning us, don't become drowsy. Today in the gospel, Jesus says, stay awake, be alert, vigilant. So if we're going to stay awake, like our Lord is commanding us today, then what do we need to do? We need to make sure that we today do not become drowsy, because otherwise we're going to fall asleep. And that's where the argument over whether Advent is a penitential season like Lent or not really dissolves into meaninglessness. It's a useless exercise. Yesterday, Jesus warned us against carousing and drunkenness. These are obvious things, right? They obviously dull our senses. When you're like that, that's why it's a mortal sin to get drunk. It's because it lessens the highest quality of man, which is our intellect. And what happens, it doesn't just do it the day in the moment. It carries over to the next day in the form of a hangover. We're drowsy for an extended period of time. But Jesus isn't talking about the obvious thing that is there. Jesus is also warning against becoming drowsy by, what did he say, by the anxieties of daily living, of daily life. You see, there was a lot of people in the day of Noah who weren't just going around there like borrachos, who were drunk. There were a lot of people who were living their lives soberly in one sense. In the physical sense. But they were just so wrapped up in their daily activities that they gradually did what? They forgot about God. They lived as practical atheists. If we disengage from God, then we are influenced by him less and less and less because we're not in his presence. We're not paying attention to him. And we become more and more influenced with those who we spend our time with in the world. How does it start? It starts out with small little venial sins that, yeah, they wound the charity. They wound our relationship with God, but they don't break it. We're doing all right. I'm a good person. But then it eventually progresses to the point where those mortal sins start to creep in, those things which absolutely break our relationship between us and God. And we're looking at those and we're saying, well, now they don't seem so bad. Maybe it's not so bad if I engage in them. And then it's lost. What happens within our lives? That's why passivity and drifting away from God has dire consequences in the end. Even if today it doesn't seem like a big deal, in the end it leads to death. So as God's people, by the way, that's what you and I are. Every single one of us here, if we've been regenerated in the waters of baptism, we are God's people, his sons and his daughters. If we are taking our cues from the ungodly, if we allow ourselves to be fully immersed in our corrupt secular culture, if we listen to them instead of actually listening to God, who's always trying to speak to us in the silence like we talked about last week, then we're going to end up adrift like the rest of humanity who doesn't acknowledge God. What does St. Paul say about this? St. Paul writes about this, I believe it's in Ephesians. This is what he says. He says, you must not live as worldly people do in the futility of their own minds, locked up there. For they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from God in this life, because of their ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of hearts. Therefore, they become callous and have given themselves up to licentiousness and greed and every kind of uncleanness. In fact, if we look closer at what was going on in the times of Noah, maybe you remember those from your Bible studies. If you look closer at the times of Noah, and you also see the time of St. Paul when he's speaking about there, you compare it to our day to day, don't they follow the same pattern? Isn't it the same issue that's going on yesterday, today, and will continue on? It's the same issues that are there. That's why in Genesis, St. Moses talks about it this way when he's describing the times of Noah. He says, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of man's heart was only to do evil continually. See, when people today give themselves to that irrational, that nonsense that says men and women are interchangeable, that there's no difference between man and woman, when they say that a baby in the womb is only a baby if the mother says that he is, when they say that marriage is only any kind of combinations that feels like it should go together, that the best way for you and me to treat elderly persons or those who are less able or those who are utterly depressed because we don't have any use for them, they're not productive to us in society, the best thing we can do is basically put them to sleep like we would any animal, because basically that's what they are. That means when every imagination of the heart of the secular world is only about evil continually. If that's what's going on, then it shouldn't surprise us that the thoughts and actions of people today provoke the wrath of God in the same way they did in the time of Noah. The question that we began was, is Advent really a season of penance just like Lent is? Or is it something different? If we want to know the Jesus-like answer, go to that second reading that you gave for us. That second reading talks about it and puts it out clearly for us. St. Paul, when he speaks to the Romans, what is he speaking there? He sidesteps, just like Jesus, all that nonsense that everybody's worried about and zeroes in on the truth. What does he say? He says, it is now. It is now the hour for you and me to awake from our sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than it ever was to you when you first began to believe. Yes, the night is far advanced, but the day is now at hand. Let us therefore throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live properly as in broad daylight, not giving ourselves to orgies or drunkenness, not giving ourselves to promiscuity and licentious, not to rivalry and jealousy. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. St. Paul is giving us specific marching orders. He's telling us exactly where it is that we need to go. What is he saying here? He's saying, throw off the works of darkness. He's saying, stop doing bad things. He says, instead, put on the armor of light. Put on our Lord Jesus Christ, which you did on the day of your baptism. Live that out. Live and behave in a way that is actually pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that, as he says, St. Paul says it in Galatians 2:20, he says, it is no longer I who live, but rather it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now lead in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Again, he writes in that second reading we had today, he says, conduct yourselves as those who live in broad daylight. What does he mean by that? He means live with integrity. Live with integrity. Do good and avoid evil, especially when nobody else is watching. Because the way you and I live, when nobody else is around, we're in the silence of our room, when we're alone or in our computers or in our cell phones or whatever it is, that's really who we are. That's what it means to live in integrity. The same outwardly as it does hiddenly. Then St. Paul says, make no provision for the desires of the flesh. What he means by that is this, is that we need to abstain from pursuing pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. Stop living as though you have no regard for God. He says, don't be a practical atheist, but acknowledge God in your life. Live it out. Doesn't that all sound like the same sort of things that we engage in during the season of Lent? The exact same things. So the real question that's facing us today as we're beginning to enter into this new season of Advent, the question is your Advent and is my Advent? Is it going to be what society says it is, which means a countdown of shopping days as they fall away until we finally arrive at Christmas? Or is it going to be a time for us to self-indulge in all the parties and things that are going on? Or is your Advent going to be, is my Advent going to be, a time where I can actually draw closer to Jesus? A time where I can prepare a peaceful, a worthy place for the Christ child to enter into your heart and into my heart? Am I going to silence myself from the new things of the world so I can be open to the new things that Jesus Christ wants to speak to me in silence? In Advent, just as in Lent, just as in every day as a Catholic lives their lives, we're supposed to do this through prayer, through adoration, and through confession. That's why in our parish, we're going to pray, we're going to adore our Lord, and we're going to confess. How's your Lent going to look like? How's your Advent going to be? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.